to put Urbana Cowboy into the computer is just, I think it's just kind of a wasted effort. If you like Urbana Cowboy, you think the race will just come down that way, then go ahead and bet it. But he's a horrible, horrible probability. And it will take everything in his favor. I mean, not to say he can't win, but what is, if you eliminate his very bottom race, which was one in the mud, and that is a race that the pace broke down, because look how fast they went on that muddy racetrack, 21-3, 44-4, and they only got home at 118. That is a complete breakdown, okay? And he managed to win that, but if you draw a line through that muddy race, and just, again, draw a line also through the first call position, all the races he's run, okay, just, if even if you bet Urbana Cowboy today, just let that sink in, this is not the kind of horse you ever want to play.
Well, I agree. He's never ever in contention at all at any call outside of the finish when they back up. I'm just looking at some horses to look at and see how things match up. I thought maybe, well, he's got to be better than Passer and he's got to be better than a couple other horses that we've already eliminated. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he can win the race in a way.
All right. As far as the class is concerned, we're not going to put him in the computer. Put him in the house. He's going to do it as a group exercise, and he will not be in the computer. Indian Sign.
Yes.
Okay, I hear some no's. Do anybody want to say why there's a no on this? Right. I heard some no's, but I don't hear the rationale.
Plus, one negative there. I mean, sure, he was last week, but everybody knows that was a $10,000. It doesn't help now, too. But he's not doing a little bit, although he was bumped at the stretch. I think he's a contender. But it's...
All right, trusty Dana's work for his running, I'll tell you that.
You might figure in the pace, but I don't better believe it.
Dana's going to start 45 for one. The only time he can keep up with 45, he's at 10,000. Ladies.
Okay, I'm gonna come in on the other side of it. Probably wants to say something.
I said yes, but I think was saying yes is with a severe reservation because that horse won its first race in August of '85 and was winning. Don't repeat very often, but I don't think he would throw out the race that he ran.
Okay.
That's my own problem.
I make him a contender.
You figure to be part of the pace.
He figures to be part of the pace, number one. But secondly, one of the negatives that I heard in the classroom here is that, well, he's being stepped up to 16. I got to tell you, that draws me to every time I see that draws me right to the horse, at least for a long period before I eliminate it.
That's right.
To me, that's the most positive statement that trainer can make, is to step that horse up to 16. What he's telling you, he said, you could have had this horse for $10,000 a week and a half ago. But now you're going to have to pay 16 because that's what this horse is
worth. Two levels.
That's up two levels. That is as positive a statement. See, I got to tell you, that's one of the reasons that because I see this every time I come down here, and I made the point last time I was here, because we went as a group for a horse called Northwest Test. It was dropping with good form every time. A horse with good form shouldn't be dropped every time. In the meantime, there was a horse that was being stepped up two levels in that particular race. It paid $20. The other day, there's a horse called Lance Manis.
Yeah.
Who had basically the best figure in the race, depending on what you did with Orchard Song, who was coming off of the layoff. But Lance Manis had just been beat at $25,000. And he was being stepped up off that loss with no workouts in almost 3 weeks to $40,000. And what happened is he went cold in the betting. And it was 2-1 or so on the line, he wound up 3-1. With people sitting in that group out at the racetrack, Jesus, this horse is up at 40, I don't like him at all. The right answer or the right conclusion of that is this guy likes his horse so much now he's going to make you pay 40 to get him. He won by 8.5. About a week and a half ago, and I'll put that in the next article I do for the follow-up, about a little over that, a couple of weeks ago, there's a two-horse race out there. One of the horses is Chili Hill. Chili Hill had been double-jumped in the previous race, I believe, and had won, was being double-jumped again by Julio Canetti. Right. Top trainer, so you have a lot of faith in this guy's abilities. So he's being double jumped in the race. He's drawn the outside post in a mile and 16th, which is horrible. But nevertheless, here's a statement on the part of Julio Canetti. Last Command being dropped two levels, roughly the same figure, right? The public makes a vote 2-1. In the case of Last Command, top trainer Craig Lewis, right? He's dropping that horse down again, 2 levels this time, saying, Jesus, take this horse, for God's sakes. Get him off my hand. Julio Canani, on the other hand, is saying, you're going to pay through the nose to get this other one. Now, who wins the race and who runs up the track? Yeah. And that happens day in and day out. And what? And instead of Chili Hill and Last Command being 3-1, they're both sitting here at 2-1. So take your choice. I mean, one horse is absolutely going to run well, and the other one you're really guessing.
And he had a... Chili Hill came off of a strong race. He was a horse to watch.
Really? For me. Yeah. He was running well in the train. He's running well back, too. Yeah. But that's what you're looking for. Horses that are actually stepping up. And sometimes when they're stepping up, you can't figure them out. Now, this might not have a whole lot to do with Indian Sign, because he's really not a very talented horse. But the point is, if the minute I hear the horse is stepping up from 10 to 16, it's a positive flag for me. And if I hear it as a negative flag in this group, if I don't do anything else, you know, all my association with the Sarton folks, I just want to make that point with you that that is positive, not negative.
Okay. Well, also he was after a long layoff. He's coming back into condition. He's a 7-year-old, and coming into condition, they figure he's got one more good race while he's on at his peak.
It's a positive statement. I don't know if this horse is any good or not, but that really is not the issue. The issue is the step up in class, and I think you should take that as positive, not as negative. Now, you get a little more faith in it when someone that you really trust as a trainer, whether you're a trainer freak or not, but when somebody you really trust as a trainer makes that difference. Here's a horse. What about Emperador Al Norte?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. This one's in good form. He's being stepped up for the second consecutive time. When he was stepped up, now let's talk about this for a minute. We're going right back to what we said a couple of minutes ago. Forget his last race for just a moment. Look down and see the races in which he's done well. 10. He'd won twice at 10, then won again at 10, right? Okay. Based on that, his last race, you had to bet against him, right?
No, not
me. Well, I'm going back to the rationale that I heard earlier, you know, about how here's a horse coming up in class, he can only be 10. See, that's kind of a superficial statement.
He even did better.
He did better, he improved again, right? That's what you're looking for. In the case of Ann Justice yesterday, when a horse wins by 4 at 10, doesn't get stepped up, that's a big negative. Just try to get, it's a thin line sometimes, but just get that. I mean, he's being stepped up again. That's a positive statement again. Guy says you're going to have to pay for it.
Can you look down though in the tens, that all the times we went from 10 to 12, 5, we lost badly.
Well, actually, you can for one reason, is that if you see that little C down there on his about the fifth one back, right. It's a different guy that's saying he can come up to 12.5. Apparently, the other guy couldn't make that statement correct.
Oh.
Okay, so you have to kind of look at that with a little
train next job.
Pardon? Yes,
that's more or less one of the keys there. But I mean, what I'm saying is that if you see he has these failures or he didn't win at a particular level. And now, he's won his last two races stepping up. You can check back to see if he was claimed. And maybe this guy is the improvement type where he gets him to step up, maybe the other guy wasn't.
That's a possibility. I can say yes sometimes, that's all I can say. Yeah. It's just another factor to consider. But the fact that he made it successfully last time on that step up says that he might make it successfully again, because this guy apparently knows what he's doing. I really don't know the guy. I mean, he's been around for a while. Rosasco.
No.
Okay. Anybody have any comments on this?
Double jump.
Too far back in his really
proved last time.
He's being double jump. Okay. Too far back when?
Over the stretch, he took the last race.
Okay, let's talk about Rosasco. The positive statement is that he's being double jump. Okay, that's not an automatic conclusion, but he's slow. Let's take a look at he's a slow horse. Take a look at him now. Consider, what is the bias in a mile and 16?
Front end.
Front end, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. This horse, last time out, controlled the front end. He was never challenged. Okay, so now he's running with a very strong bias to start with. So you got to downgrade that a little bit. Now take a look at the races prior to that in which he had to put out early. He was not capable of doing it. And if you threw a line through his last race before you would consider him as a possibility, his last race for that. Now, take a look at the previous nine races. Is this guy a serious contender in a sprint?
No.
Anybody want him as a contender in a sprint? No. I think you're making a mistake if that's the case.
Tom.
Yes.
Be that as it may, if we make Emperor Al Norte take a look at him, mm-hmm. and draw a line through his one turn mile.
Can't do that. I'm going to stop you right there. You cannot do that. The one turn mile at Hollywood Park is not a rookie. The one turn mile at Hollywood Park is a 7-furlong race extended by Nathan Mahan.
I realize that, but what I wanted to do is get back to the second race back.
Okay.
In which he ran a mile in the 16th.
Okay.
On top of 112.1. And Rosasco was able to make the lead 11-4 in his last race.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm saying is that if we throw Rosasco out, shouldn't we throw out Emperor Al Norte?
No. You're really got apples and oranges going here. See, just use Emperor Al Norte's last race, period. You can't use Rosasco's last race, because there's nothing at all behind it. No. Emperor Al Norte's last race, what is the bias in a mile?
Sustained.
No, it's not early.
At
a mile.
Sustained.
It is presser sustained.
Right.
Emperor Al Norte was presser early.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's running against the bias at a one turn mile, which matches up very well with 7 furlongs. You can't throw a line through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I got to tell you, we're going to go further than this. But what you've got here, you've got to be able to make that distinction away from his classroom, is that you have apples and oranges going here. You can't just draw a line through Emperor Al Norte's race because it's almost identical to the race you got today. Rosasco's race is far, far removed from today's race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what we'll wind up doing is saying that Emperor Al Norte clearly has to be right with the pace at the three-quarter mark in his races, right? Has to be. Okay, we're not ready to make that yet. We're going to find out in this race he can't be there. I mean, just based on who we've already put in the race. But if for some reason, I mean, the point is this guy a contender? He is a contender in this race. Because he ran almost the same conditions he's got here.
Yeah.
All right, Rosasco is not. What about Transor?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
No.
No,
he's not a scratch. I want to point something out to you before we go any further, and that is for your own notebook. This trainer, Mark Lepp, has to be the best long jump trainer on the ground right now. He has been phenomenal. If you look at this horse, Transor, who I happen to bet line, but they touted the hang hunting class. He ran really paid a big place for us, 13-something.
Exactly.
It was. Back on April 29th, I'm sorry, let's go back. Back on April 29th, he runs well in a big prize, 8-1. At 14-1, he runs well last time. The other horse that I'm thinking of is Polysemus.
Yeah.
This guy also trains Polysemus, who should have won, had the rider not misjudged the finish line earlier in the meeting.
Yeah.
He wins at 45-1. Would have.
Yeah.
And his next start, he gets beat a photo at 17-1. And the guy also has at least one other horse that's performed very well. Oracal.
Yeah.
Oracal is his, owned by Mark Lepp, trained by Mark Lepp. And this guy is phenomenal. I don't know who he is. I don't know how long he's been around. The guy is phenomenal.
He's got a treadmill on his motorhome.
Could be. He could be. He's remarkably good. When he's got the horse in the right spot,
that's right.
Very, very well.
And the fact that he owns the horse, too.
He owns all of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Now, is Transor a contender in this race?
Yeah.
For my money, no.
Is Transor a contender in this race?
For my money, it could be.
I say no.
I don't think
so. Okay. He has no early speed. Let's look at the race on June 5th. 7 furlongs, these conditions, against a very slow pace, 22.345.3, he was still not able to get in position anywhere. And that was at a lower level. He's got two very good races in a one-turn mile. If this race was at a one-turn mile, you might make a case for him. But if you're making him a serious contender in this race, it's kind of wishful thinking. Anybody disagree with that? But this guy is a tough trainer. So you almost can't be surprised, yes.
I have no problem with throwing the horse out, I did. However, I do have a problem with what you just said compared to what you said with Emperor Omerta. Mm-hmm. You said an Emperor Omerta is a one-turn mile was just identical to today, essentially. It was very predictive of today.
Right.
And what you just said about this horse is that the one-turn mile is different from today, and if it was a one-turn mile, you'd put it in, but you wouldn't, because it's not.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. But what you might have inferred that, June 5th race, you have one race back, you have identical conditions to today.
Right.
Okay, so you can throw him out based on that.
Yes.
His last race, Emperor El Norte, ran against the odds.
Right.
Okay, this horse ran with him. Okay, this horse was never a threat to win the race. Emperor just ran away from him. Okay, but he had the bias working for him. Okay. And Trento is a sad case. When he was a three-year-old, Mike Mitchell had him as a youngster and over-raced him a bit. At Del Mar as a three-year-old, or maybe as a four-year-old, I think he might have started as a four-year-old first. He was going to be really good. He was favored, he had some great times, he was favored in several allowance races, and I think minor stakes down in Del Mar. And this is what you've got today.
Except he's always had physical problems.
Always had physical problems. Always. And today you have him. I mean, he's a nice horse. He was a nice horse. If you make him a contender, if anybody likes him for any reason, there's a spot blank, just hold him aside and make a side bet on him. But he is not. He is not the kind of contender you want to be making on a daily basis. Everybody see that? Everybody agree with that? Okay. So we wind up with Emperor El Norte. Trusty Manage, Peaceful Image, Indian Sign, Angle Line. And I think you've still got Nevada Cowboy in your computer. Let's do something I should have done first when I got out of sequence. Let's identify the running styles on these horses. We'll start with Nevada Cowboy and call him. If anybody says anything other than a deep close, heavily sustained, you're not playing right. You're not playing with a full deck, actually. Passer in this particular race, what would he be? I don't think he'd be a presser. I think he'd be sustained.
Where do you break your presser?
Okay. An early pace horse is a horse that is trying for the lead in his good races. Generally tries for the lead. A presser is a horse that will lay two or three lengths behind that pace. A length behind, two lengths behind, up to about three lengths behind. And just kind of presses the race and sits there, because if they try to slow down in front of him, he goes up and joins the leaders like Diamond Today did the other day. Even though she didn't win the race, she made a big move to go to the lead because he tried to slow down. That's a presser.
First call.
No, I'm talking about first and second call both. Okay, but we're primarily interested in the second call because that's the hinge point for our computer program. That's a presser. A closer is somebody that is basically out of it, five or six lengths at the second call. Now, I distinguish kind of in between, and we'll do that a little bit in here, as to an early presser and a sustained presser, that kind of thing. Because we want a good feel for some of these races. You almost want to make a couple of other gradations in between those. But it's basically early, presser, and sustained. So let's call Passer. In his routes, he's up close, but he's generally up close against slow paces. In his March 17th race, even though he was off slowly, you know, he really never made an impact coming from well out of it. On March 24th, he's well out of a route. On April 6th, he's well out of a route. On April 15th, he's well out of a route. You can't call him early in here, especially with a horse like Trusty Dennis. But he's basically a sustained horse. In a 7-furlong race, he'll be sustained. What about Angle Arc?
Sustained.
He's sustained. also capable of getting into the race, though. As you can see, a second race back. He was actually in the lead by the second, by the stretch call. What is King Clyde? No form sustained, yeah. What about Lucky Bear? Yeah, kind of a sustained no form again, right? Trusty Danis, it's got to be early herbs. Peaceful Image is sustained. Now, one thing about Peaceful Image that they don't show in here for some reason, his last race, he just flat got left at the gate. He must have been 6 lengths behind the field, 100 feet out of the gate. It's amazing that they can't be in the trouble line. That, sometimes you think they're blind. Indian Sign.
Early.
You can count on one thing, this horse is early. But what has he done successfully as a pressman?
Glad
to have. What has he done successfully early?
Win.
Man, managed to win a race, right?
He's only got one way to go.
Okay. If he can't get the lead in here, what do you think Indian Sign might wind up doing?
Running last.
Running somewhere beyond first, huh?
Getting a good sustained pace.
See, that's how we managed to get rid of some horses in the first race yesterday. Because we managed to get through Hasty Holiday, who managed to be a presser down at Ogden Caliente. But up in the United States, he'd only been early. And when we called him early and matched him with Injustice early, and the possibility of Flying Lessons being early, when we were finished with all of that, we managed to get rid of some of these. But you got to be careful that you make the proper designation, because if you call him early presser and then do this race, Trusty Davis will be early, right? And if you make him early presser, you're looking at the race now saying, that's great, when Trusty Davis decides to stop, Indian Sign will come running and win the race. But see, there's a fundamental error in all of that. And the fundamental error is that you've labeled an early only horse as an early presser. And you're not always going to be right, but you're going to be right often enough to make it pay. And you've got to go by the data, and so far, the Indian Sign does not look like a pet. What about the Emperor?
He's in a
common race down on March 17th with one of the other horses we talked about earlier, and that was Passer, I believe. Yeah. And that's his only sprint. So he, in that race he was pressing, right? He's not going to be early in this field. And I would mark him as a presser if I were going to mark him as anything. Can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Okay. And Rosasco, yes.
That's actually the race that I really didn't want to consider the horse when I looked down at that morning on the 6th.
Yeah, but don't you think you might be sharper now?
Well, sure. Yes. Granted, you might be sharper, but again, I've already looked at two or three horses that have run well at sprints, while maybe not exactly at 7, it's been close enough, and I looked at that one. Yeah. Was that the last one? I think, yeah, he could be sharper, right. But that, as a matter of fact, that's why I went back, looking at that race and then going back to the two-turn route with the apples and oranges.
Do me a favor, okay. Work along with the procedure that we're doing. We're looking at each of these horses kind of individually. Then we'll look at the race. All right? And the reason for that is that we had a lot of people yesterday saying, let's throw out this horse, let's get rid of this horse. When we were finished with the race, those horses became very strong contenders and ran pretty well. And some of them, they were right throwing them out early. But you really don't, if you make decisions like that early on, and then you analyze this race, you will have left out a possible winner. Often. And so just kind of work along with this. And I kind of agree, I know where we're going on this race, basically. And what's going to happen is, and we get to that point, you say, well, damn it, I knew it all the time. Right. Okay, but that's not the way you get there. And since you're handicapping with me, and the idea of all of this is to show you the procedure that I use and to kind of reason through some of this with you. And for the moment, Emperor Norte is a contender. And besides, in that race that you were looking at, if he's sitting 2.5, if he's sharper now than he was then, he's sitting 2.5 lengths behind at the half mile, If Trusty Danis decides to stop, Indian Sign is not a pressure, where's Imperial Nordia going to be in this race? He can be moved to the lead.
He'd be in a position to make a run.
Transor, what do you suppose he is in here?
He's a closer.
He's a closer, right? It's the only way he can run. Rosasco, what is he? He's not early. I mean, look at all of his races.
The only time he's successful is when he has the lead.
Mark him, no form. He can't be early in here. And Trento, I just put a question mark. I have any idea how he's going to run here.
He might not even have all his legs today.
He may not get past the quarter. And he may trip on his bandages. You're right. What are the bandages? Yes. Remember Boris Karloff and the mummy?
Yeah, right.
What you might have here. Now I want you to do something else for me. Get your par chart up for that. What is the par for the one turn mile for 12 fives?
133.
No, I'm sorry, the final time.
136.
Okay.
136.
That's for what, 12 fives?
12 fives.
All right, and for this level, it would be 136 and 2 then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are intense, am I correct?
No, only the fractions are intense on this chart. The final times are all at fifths.
Oh.
Okay, so where it says 110, 110.6, that's 110 and 3, right?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Where it says 45 and 5, 45 2 or 45 3.
Okay, the pace numbers are intense and the right. Final times are in fifths.
Okay, now let's look at his last race period. 44 and 4, and the par for 16 is 45 and 2. So the race he was in last time, Emperor Alorti's race, was better than par through the half mile. Everybody can see that?
Mm-hmm.
That race was better than this par for the half mile. The par at 16 for the three quarters, 110 and 2. It says 110.4, that's 110 and 2. That race was run in 110 and 2. Final time, 136 and 3, which is a length off the par for this particular level. But Emperor Alnorte's last race was a good race that matches up pretty well at 16. Especially early on. You have any trouble seeing that at all? What I'm making a case for is holding him as a contender. That race matches very well at 10. Let's go to the other page of the race report. Trusty Davis' last race. This guy we're going to have to make a serious condition issue of in a few minutes. What we'll wind up doing it. Let's look at his last race. 44 and 4. 109 and 2 are the fractions. The 109 and 2 is the one turn mile par for the stakes level. Okay, does he match the approximate par for this kind of a race, at least through that point of the race? Okay, we're not going to eliminate. The whole reason for this is we're going to eliminate horses that can't get that aren't near the par. So if we have five contenders right now and one of them can't get near the par, that'll be another elimination for us. Now, yesterday we used it a couple of times to get rid of horses. This race we might not get rid of anybody, but what I'm suggesting is that you go through this process. Peaceful Image's last race. Both of the races he was in recently are better than the par. Have any problem with that? Both of those races are better than the par.
The race itself.
Okay, and he did not perform when you consider, and trust me when I tell you this, he was left at the gate last time. And he got beat 3.5 lengths in a race that was at the $25,000 par.
He also got a real vigorous warm-up on that race.
He did. But he looked great on a racetrack. Did you see him?
Yeah.
He looked great on the racetrack. So I happen to play the winner of that race, and I'm not biased, I respect. I happen to play, what's his name?
Hit Ball.
He was one of the horses we were watching I had earlier, yeah.
Tom?
Yes.
A thought. Granted that he, as you say, he was practically left at the gate, and he doesn't show the trouble line. But if you can eliminate that race because of the trouble line, and go back to the next race, the second race back, and compare those numbers with your par, even though the race was run better than part-time, or as you say, stakes part-time, the way he performed in it does not, in my opinion, does not warrant considering him to be able to keep up with the pace.
See, I think you're on the opposite side of the fence where you should be on. Because the race was run in stakes type time early on, and a very high final rating, how would you expect him to perform? That's when you want horses that are dropping in class. When they're running in races that they can't possibly run well in, and the races are run much better than par, those are the kind of, when they drop in, are big bets, are good points. So you're looking at that as a negative, I think that's a positive. Now, what's going to happen to us, and I'm going to tell you where we're going to go beyond that, we're going to look at these two sprints. And neither one of those sprints is near par. And in the case of Peaceful Image, he's going to we're probably going to knock him out a little further back. But those two last races are very strong races for those levels, and he performed well in one of them, and he performed kind of in the middle in the other one. And those are actually positives when they drop out of those races. And you catch all me. There's a horse yesterday, one called Comedy Act, right? The horse is over, but it was dropping out of a very strong race, or moving out of a very strong race. And when horses run in those extra strong races, even if they didn't perform great, when they move into a race that is not so strong, they're benefited by having performed in those races.
When you, if you never adjust the time, to because whenever he ran that one of the June 19th, you adjust the time and he runs par or just one length off of par. If you adjust the time at 20,000,
mm-hmm. But we're not into that yet. All we're doing is going through, kind of not superficially even. We're just going through now and finding out whether or not the horse races are coming out of without being adjusted or anywhere near the par. And if they're well off the par in terms of negative, we eliminate them and we get the race down a little cuter even. Okay, right now he's coming out of two very strong races.
Yeah.
And in the case of the race before, even though he's beaten 8 lengths, then he runs 136-4, right? Well, that's good enough to win a $10,000 race when basically some of these horses are 10,000 right here. A half of that race. That's a positive when they drop out of those really strong races. And I think you ought to look at it that way because you wind up catching a lot of bets and horses that come out of very solid, well-run races when they drop in against the Indians. Those are the class drops you really want. I want the class drops on horses that are performing well at a higher level than they drop. Well, then that's kind of a for sale sign. Two kinds of class drops. Horses like this one here, they can't quite handle and are running fairly well. At 20, 25, they do drop down to 20 or 16. But the horses that look like they can handle the 20 and 25s, when they drop down, you don't want part of that because they've already said they can handle those races. Those are the negative class drops, and they're always overbet. And again, Lost Curiosity was a good example of that. Yes, it was dropping from 40, perhaps. It's a 3-year-old down to 20.
Cool Scene, I think. Was that
Pardon?
Cool Scene the other day?
Cool Scene. That was a horrible one.
Sure.
Horse was 6-5.
Right.
Everybody bet the horse down to 6-5. It was a horrible bet.
Terrible.
Everybody's betting Craig Lewis, I guess. I mean, the guy's a great, a fine trainer, but he's not a magician.
Steve, the horse had a big problem. Great. They have to put deals on the calendar.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you something about that horse. If that horse is sharp, you think you've been behind anybody to clip heels with? I'm serious. That horse is a dedicated front runner. Cool Scene. That horse is always in front. And in that field, she should have been 5 in front of the 3/4. So the fact that she's got heels in front of her to clip tells you that she's not running. Now, I wouldn't make a big excuse for that. We'll start sounding like Charlie Wayne. Let me tell you what, somebody gave me a little insight last night and said that when asked about his horses that were running this weekend at these stakes races, the surest winner was Jimmy Jones. Ferdinand has had a lot of mistakes, a lot of excuses made for him this year. But he's really a nice horse, but you get tired of hearing him through. He also wind up, if you believe all the excuses, like I'll tell you one of them, Aruma. When they started giving the problems with bleeding and all of it, every time you read Bobby Frankley, they say, Aruma is a great horse. He's much better. He bled down in Florida. He, you know, you start reading that stuff and believing it and not looking at your racing form, you get in a little trouble. His race at Bay Meadows was awesome, but his race in Florida was horrible. You start believing that, and you really can get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Tom?
Yes?
Excuse me, going back to the Cool Scene race. I had selected Sudden Sass as one of my contenders, the main one, who was scratched. Did that scratch set up Vinatron's run? Should Vinatron have been the choice?
Well, I didn't like Sudden Sass. The reason for that is, you go down here and see, remember Sudden Sass in his previous race got away with getting a big lead, right? I think it would do that against Cool Scene. Cool Scene could fire, even halfway fire. The answer is no. So the minute you say that there's an early horse that can't get the lead, there's the end of Sudden Sass. Scratch or go straight.
Okay.
Indian Sun. Its last race is 17-1. The par for this level, what is it? All right, again, there's a horse that won at $10,000 but matched the $16,000 par, unadjusted par, right? But nevertheless, it matched the par. And Hollywood, trust me when I say Hollywood sprints have been basically zero, the whole meeting, the track record for him, as far as appearing. So Indian Sight is all right. Angle Arc's last race. Angle Arc, in his last two races, those are very good races. The race on May 26th, was better than the par for that level. Its last race was better than the par for this level.
Okay.
Now let's take one last look at Urbana Cowboy. Look at the race it was in last time. The par for $20,000, two turns, is 143-4. Now, whether you think the horse is a router or not, that was a poor race. We've already eliminated the horse anyway. That was the last one. All right, so we have Angle Arc, Trusty Danis, Peaceful Image, Indian Sign, and Emperor El Norte. What baseline do you want on Angle Arc as a group? I beg your pardon?
All right, hang on.
We want to make one other step. Let's identify the probable pace of this race.
Yes.
What do you suppose Trusty Danis will hit the half mile?
44 and 4.
Yeah, but the one turn miles are run on a straightaway. I mean, to the extent that those are faster to the half than the sprints are.
45 and 1.
Yeah, they are just lightning fast. Let's look at the race on February 15th, and look at, generally speaking, look at the routes that the horse normally runs. Mm-hmm. And for me, that projects out to about a 45. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever know about that? It's an approximate 45. If he's pushed beyond 45, what might happen here?
Yes.
What if he's allowed to comfortably go 45?
He should be content.
Okay. Peaceful Image. What might he get to happen? I've already written in 45-4, but that's close. 45-4, 46. Just look at his. Look at the general run he makes at 6.5 and 7 here at Hollywood Park. And even at San Anita in April. He bobbled at the start and still hit the half at 46-1. He's not a very fast horse. Okay, so 45-4 might actually be kind to him. It might be 46. Indian Sign, what should he hit the half?
45-1. 45-1.
He did, and it went very fast to the half. What would you expect if it had happened? 45-1. Be careful now not to go isolate a single race in a horse's past performance and say that's what he's going to do. Okay? Because one of the things that I also do, besides keeping a variant that I keep within feet per second, I also keep a fractional variant. And some of the races, even when the track remained zero, were two or three lengths faster than the half. I'm not sure that was one of them. But nevertheless, the half mile can vary even more than the final sometimes. So when you have all of the data on Indian Sign that says he should go 45-1 or so, and you have one race that goes 44-4, I'd stay with the 45-1, be a lot safer with it. So we made Indian Sign a 45-1, did we, or 45?
45-1.
All right, let me, before I do that though, if Trustee Davis is going 45, what do you think Indian Sign is going to do? 45, I think. I put down 45, but I made kind of a conclusion beyond it. 45-1, I would think Indian Sign would be pretty comfortable. But he's going to have to compete with Trustee Davis because they're both earlys. We already said that as a group. And if Trustee Davis goes 45, Indian Sign will go 45. If Trustee Davis, for some reason, is able to go at 44-4, Indian Sign will probably go at 44-4. Okay? And the minute that happens, if they both push 44-4, horses like Peaceful and Angle Arc and the rest of those horses are going to look a lot better. All right. Yes?
Being this horse is on this double jump that the trainers decided, wouldn't you think you think the horse can do 44-4 again?
What do you think, though?
Well, I like 45.
Sweat with it.
Trustee
Davis in the race. I didn't
hear her. She said he didn't know Trustee Davis be in the race, but I'm not sure that would be good.
No, I don't think, I mean, you've got a lot of data to base your decision on here. And that would indicate 45-1. You have a single race to go 44. In fact, I'm going to solve that probably right now. The half mile time, the day Indian Sign ran 44-4, was three lengths fast that day. That's a 45-2 adjusted. Now, with that little extra piece of data, which you don't have to have to make the conclusion, what would you say Indian Sign's race is going to be? I'm going to kick it back up. 45-1. I don't think you can do 44. Whether you believe it or not, I'm giving you a true adjustment on that.
That's nice, don't you?
Yeah. I meant that just to Jim. Because I heard you say that 44-4, because the trainer thinks he can do that. Based on that adjustment that day, I make the track three lengths faster than half, which says that he's never run 44-4 in his life. And based on that, he's also never run 45 flat in his life. Why would we run 44-4 today?
That's what I wanted to ask you. If we look up in the horse's past performances, and we skipping the last race, and we say 45, or whatever we call it, okay? We say that's par for this horse, this is probably what he can do. And if we use the last race to handicap the horse, if we think it's contender, and you just answer it with the adjustment. In other words, if we call it 45-3, and his last race, the horse, in fact, went 44-4, 45, it makes it look better when you put it in.
Okay. We're going to get beyond this. We're separate sort of measure. Yes.
On the June 9th race, was that four horse was the first quarter time
Okay, but what do you suppose Indian Sign really does to the quarter?
22-1
problem. All I'm saying is, that the fractional times in Indian Sign's last race were exceedingly
bad. Oh, okay.
Okay, the track was.
You had a -0.35 on that race.
That's very hot. Yeah, because most of the tracks have been like zero this meeting. Yes?
I'm
If you look up his last race, you should also look up his May race.
Well, why don't we look up his June 7th race at Golden Gate?
Why are you looking up?
What, the May 8th race, why go back to the May 8th race?
Well, you wanted to see if you could really do a 45-1.
Well, why don't we look up his June 8th race?
You did.
No, we looked up his June 16th.
Well, because that was 45-2. I'm looking at one where he was on the lead.
Okay, I got to tell you something. I apparently you're biased toward Indian Cider. I can't blame you. I mean, maybe the horse is going to run off.
I'm just saying, if you look up a race for the what the real speed was for 44-4, what was that one? 45-1.
The reason I looked up, and let me make this, I don't want to spend the whole day on this horse. The reason I looked that up, that his last race was contrary to everything else in his chart. That's the only reason I looked it up. We still made the right conclusion without me looking it up, though. Didn't we say the horse was going to run 45 or 45-1?
Right.
Okay, we didn't even look it up. The reason I looked it up was for you. And that equates out to a 45-2. Okay? And if the June 8th, I don't see any reason to look up anything beyond that, because all it does is confirm every other race in his chart. Now, I'd be happy to look the May 8th race up for you. The May 8th race is run in, what is that? 45-1. That's a zero to the half.
Since you're matching that up with him up with Preston Indy, you should also look up.
No, I'm not going to. No, then I'm going to. Wait a minute, hold it. This is so that you can walk out of here and go through the same procedure I do. Do you keep a fractional time to the half mile? No. So if I look this up, all I'm doing is saying, doing something that you aren't capable of doing. No, I won't do that. I think we're safe on Trusty Dennis because we have, see what we're saying is we got 10 races on these horses to make these conclusions. We're safe in saying Trusty Dennis can go 45. You've got a race in 7 furlongs in which he went 45 and hung on pretty decent in any reality. You've got a lot of races in routes where he goes 45-4, 45-3. He should be able to go 45, 45-1 without